After that, things got worse and worse. One day, the hotel clerk stopped me in the lobby. "I don't know how to say this," he said, "but there's something wrong about the people who come up to your room. I used to be in illegitimate business myself years ago. I just wanted to warn you to be careful. You know, all calls come through the office. I heard one this morning, and it was pretty obvious. If someone else had been at the switchboard..." "So be careful, and tell those people to watch what they say over the phone." The call he referred to was Dooley's. That morning he had called me up. "I want to see you," he yelled. "I'm sick. I'll be over right away." I could feel the Federals moving steadily closer. It was a question of time. I did not trust any of the village customers, and I was convinced that at least one of them was a rank stool pigeon. Dooley was my number one suspect, with Nick running a very close second and Chris trailing in third place. Of course, there was always the possibility that Marvin might take the easy way of raising money to buy a pair of socks. Nick also scored for some respectable people working in the village who indulged in an occasional joy bang. This type person is a bad security risk because of timidity. They are afraid of the police. They are afraid of losing their responsible jobs. It does not occur to them that there's anything wrong about giving information to the law. Of course, they will not come forward with information because of their fear of being involved, but they will generally spill under police questioning. Narcotics agents operate largely with the aid of informers. The usual routine is to grab someone with junk on him and let him stew in jail until he is good and sick. Then comes the spiel. "We can get you 5 years for possession. On the other hand, you can walk out of here right now. The decision is up to you. If you work with us, we can give you a good deal. For one thing, you'll have plenty of junk and pocket money. That is, if you deliver. Take a few minutes to think it over." The agent takes out a few caps and puts them on the table. This is like pouring a glass of ice water in front of a man dying of thirst. "Why don't you pick them up? Now you're being sensible. The first man we want to get is..." Some of them don't need to be pressured. Junk and pocket money is all they want, and they don't care how they get it. The new pigeon is given marked money and sent out to make a buy. When the stool pigeon makes a buy with this money, the agents close in right away to make the arrest. It is essential to make the arrest before the peddler has a chance to change the marked money. The agents have the marked money that bought the junk, and the junk it bought. If the case is important enough, the pigeon may be called upon to testify. Of course, once he appears in court and testifies, the pigeon is known to the trade and no one will serve him. Unless the agents want to send him to another town, some especially able pigeons go on tour. His informing career is finished.